Well, I'm really glad to be here. It's so special. I haven't been here since July of last year, so this is it feels very nice. I'm glad, Sims, we have a space. It just feels like this is home and this is right. Feels good. And the talk that I want to talk about is greed, hatred, and delusion. I thought that would be the perfect topic for December, Christmas. It's perfect, mainly because hopefully by the time we get finished tonight, there'll be a sense of softer kindness with this idea of greed, hatred, and delusion, and that we actually could spend this time in practice. Because these three qualities, or what are called unwholesome roots, are going to show up over the next month or so, whether we want them to show up or not. And this would be a great time to practice. And so my hope is that in this talk, we're left with a softer way of holding it, not quite so much maybe aversion around it. I think I want to start with this idea that words mean something in this practice. Words are so, they're so dependent on our own understanding and our own ways of thinking and our own beliefs and past ideas that it affects our practice a lot. Much more so than we may give attention to. So an example would be, we've spent a year with Rodney talking about birthing the heart, and then I spent this amazing weekend with Philip Moffat about awakening the heart. And all of a sudden, I began to realize when I was preparing for this talk, I don't want to call this talk Liberating the Mind. I want to call it Liberating the Heart. All of a sudden the word mind didn't have the same quality to me as much as it is training the mind so that we could liberate the heart. And this idea of always having to wrestle with the mind may not be all what it's chalked out to be. And I'm starting this way because greed, hatred, and delusion was probably the hardest pathway I had when I initially started practicing. I could relate to the list and the different natures of practice. I was all over suffering, and I knew that, and yes. And I could see that life was unsatisfactory, and I could get into the idea that there was impermanence and that, even that there was no self, because to me, if I could fix myself, get rid of myself, then I would be okay. Everything would be nice. And so, this idea of most of the practice, I could wrap my head around and jump right into it. But something about the words greed, hatred, and delusion really bothered me. I could not admit that I had any kind of greed, and I could not admit that I ever had any hatred or delusion. And so I found myself wanting to soften the blow a little bit. And I wouldn't call it greed, just so much more like wanting. Or not hatred, as much as I could go with not wanting. So wanting or not wanting. And I just never considered myself delusional at all. So that just, like, what's that? I didn't even notice that. That's pretty delusional, isn't it? So it's sort of this idea that I spent my practice then trying to just not want, or if I saw myself trying to push something away that I didn't want, then that's what I should have. So there was this kind of way that I began to practice where I was stuck trying to get rid of anything pleasurable, and I shouldn't even like anything pleasurable, and I should welcome any kind of pain and unpleasurable experience. That's what I wanted to welcome in. And I'm hoping tonight to kind of soften that a little bit, that idea that sometimes as practitioners, we can almost beat ourselves up for anything that we like that's pleasurable and run only to the unpleasurable, but then we don't really work with it. We just keep spinning around in it. So let's start with some places, some premises, that these three qualities are considered unwholesome roots. So if they're unwholesome roots, they're pretty deep down in us. It's not something that's going to easily go by the wayside. And not only that they're pretty deep down in there, in us, they are impulsive. They are natural tendencies the minute we were born. That there is no kind of negative or I don't like this part of myself, this greed or this hatred or this delusion. It is very much the nature of the fact that we are born. Another way you could think of it is that biologically, so I took this training and I learned all this stuff about all the research they've done about mindfulness and biology, and it was a year-long training, very intensive. And it's probably one of the first time I kind of begin to understand why it is that this Buddha would refer to these as unwholesome roots. And it really stems more from biologically what we are as beings, being that we are animals. We have inherent within our nervous system this need to find a threat and deal with it. So if something is a threat, we need to make sure we deal with it, fight it, get rid of it, whatever. And if it's not a threat, we need to bring that into the fold. So we get all the stuff that we need to help us and we want and that's not a threat, and we push away everything that's a threat. So the mind is on this constant threat assessment every minute of the day. That's what all these scientists kind of figured out. Buddha saw that in greed, hatred, and delusion, these root impulses. So I want to talk a little bit about greed, a little bit about hatred, a little bit about delusion, talk a little bit about the personality types, and then see if I can't show you how I work through that with my own sort of my own problem. I don't want to tell you what it is because you might think, oh, I can't believe that's what she had to work with, but we'll just see if we can get to it. So let's start with greed. When I went to this long retreat, the three-month retreat, I did the first part last year. And one of the teachers explained greed in a way that really was helpful for me. It's this idea that it is an unskillful relationship with pleasure. So pleasure is a natural part of life. But if you have an unskillful relationship with pleasure, you can get trapped into greed. Pleasure itself, this idea of greed, it arises when we cannot see the impermanency of pleasure. It's sort of like we are basically blinded to the unpleasantness of pleasant, We can't see it. We can just see the pleasure itself. And then once we see the pleasure, we can't see that that pleasure is destined by the nature of its arising to fade away. We can't see that either. We become sort of singularly focused on something that we want at the expense of everything else. Not so much like it's not so much like a pushing away as much as it is, we just want what we want. It's a simple thing. For example, I have two boys. One of them is more like me than the other. So the one that's more like me, you know, we kind of dominated the world between our family because everything I wanted was sort of the what he wanted, and that's the way it would be. So an example would be my youngest son liked things very quiet and he didn't like a lot of noise. But my oldest son, like me, we like noise. We like lots of things, lots of movement going on. And so the house, if it got too quiet for me, I would raise up all the noise. And I wouldn't even think about the younger boy. Or I don't really have a good relationship with pets and things, animals and, but my youngest boy loved pets so close. But I wouldn't buy any pets. I mean, because why would I do that? I don't want any animals in the house. It just never dawned on me. It wasn't this like negative thing against him as much as it was, I just couldn't see anything but what I wanted. That's all I saw. And I just tried to get what I want. I just tried to do what I wanted to do. That's the way greed works. In this way where we just, the root of it is that we just want what we want. So we just give in to whatever habits, wants that we have. We just give in to it. Not so much because we're searching after pleasure, but as much as we just want it. Just a very simple, it feels like a very simple thing to just do what we want. Why would I do what I don't want? Doesn't make any sense. So we just do what we want. But each of us in this room are trying to just do what we want. We get caught in what I started calling in myself this sense of have to energy, this energy that is almost like there were certain things that had to be a certain way, or I would not feel safe, or I would not feel like I could do this. There had to be certain things. And I would be so caught in the things had to be this way that I could not see my way out of it. I could not see anything other than what I felt like it had to be. So if you think about growing up with a mother like this, my boys pretty much had to do whatever I told them to do. And I was pretty rigid. But if you were to ask me, I'd say, oh, I'm easygoing mom. You know, freedom, boys can do whatever they want, really like it. You know, it's really easy in the house. We have a lot of fun, a lot of playing. But if something did not go my way, there would be a problem. I know this probably doesn't sound familiar to you guys, but I'm just saying. I'm just talking from me. So then when you come into the practice, all of a sudden there's this energy that says, oh, it's the pleasure that's a problem. So if we find ourselves wanting something pleasurable, if we find ourselves, you know, wanting to have pleasurable things around us or wanting things to go our way, we tend to think that's the problem. Just stop that. Just don't want any pleasure anymore. My family is predominantly Christian, and many of them are devout, almost to the line of fundamentalist. And so when I first started practicing and I started telling them about my practice, you know, they would just look at me like, what? What about the blessings? You would leave God and blessings for this? What's wrong with you? Just the idea of it didn't make any sense to me either, that I would be giving up everything pleasurable, that I would somehow or another want to wallow in suffering and difficulty. And therein lies the problem, because the problem is not pleasure. It's not, you can have as pleasurable day as you want. It's not in the pleasure. It's in our attachment to that pleasure and the inability to let pleasure rise and pass away. So Pema Chodron, the Capitol Hill group, we are looking at, we're reading this book called Hooked. It's Buddhist essays on desire, greed, and consumerism. And it's edited by a woman named Stephanie Katz. It's K-A-T-S. I think it's pronounced Katz. Anyway, in this book, we read this one essay written by Pema Chodron, and she calls pleasure delight. I just so like that word, delight. And that's what she relates pleasure to. It's like these, it's the delight in life. And the problem isn't the delight. It's hard to remember that as practitioners, but it's not the delight. It's when we begin to think that that delight is going to take away whatever sadness we have going on. So we can delight in chocolate. But if you think eating all that chocolate is going to take away that phone bill, you can forget it. It's not going to happen. You are going to still be just more weight full of chocolate and still have to deal with that unbelievable phone bill. Another story in that book that I think really helps us is a very nice story that Joseph Goldstein started the book out with. He tells the story about the Dalai Lama being in Los Angeles and at this conference. And the route from his hotel to the conference convention center would pass through or pass down the street of a whole bunch of electronic gadgets and things, like an electronic rope. And the Dalai Lama told people that by the end of the week-long training, he found himself wanting gadgets he didn't even know what they were. You know? And so Joseph's point was, that's how deep-seated greed and this need to want is. Because the Dalai Lama, with his level of practice and realization, still had this sense of wanting after things he didn't even know what they were. It's not the wanting, it's not the getting, it's not the pleasure. It's that attachment to it and inability to let it go. So I'll move on. Oh, I think I wanted to read a little saying here. It says, the enemies, such as craving and hatred, are without arms or legs. They are neither courageous nor wise. So how is it that they enslave me? That's from Shantideva. That's greed. hatred. A softer way, I guess we could think of it, it would be like ill will or aversion, but this hatred would be an unskillful relationship with unpleasant. It causes this sense of hatred to rise. So I've learned that this hatred, or what we call, or sometimes call aversion, it has four aspects to it. One is the deep-rooted relationship of our tendencies towards pushing past anything we think is a threat. The other is obsessiveness, this obsessive way that we think, and our thoughts can get caught in stories, thoughts and stories of resentment and anger. And it spins around in our thoughts, not so much from the impulse, but it's just in our thoughts, constantly spinning around. The third way is in transgression, which relates to our actions. So exploding, yelling, you know, or the more passive type anger where you're really picking at someone in a nice way. I don't know, you guys probably don't do that. And then it's the post-transgression, which is you relate to all the pain and guilt and resentment you have for all the stuff that you did. In this sense of hatred, we become, it's like we're lured or seduced into a sense of being right, justified for our anger or whatever it is. We have a sense of being justified with it. And it relates, it's probably from all the things that I have been taught, it's probably one of the most conditional states because it's so conditioned on where we come from, who we are, what we think, as to whether or not a particular situation or experience generates any hatred. I may have a lot of aversion or hatred towards some things that some of you may think, oh, it's nothing, no big deal. Likewise, you have all this aversion and hatred for things, and I'm like, what are you upset about that for? Nothing. So it's very, very conditional relating to us. And it is, and our reaction to it comes very much from our own habitual reactions to things. So some of you might get irritated, and that is from your impulse of hatred, or some of us might blow up and yell, some of us might turn it inward and, you know, go into a lot of depression. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we react, but it's all very conditional. It's you. I'm different. We are not going to see things or experience things in hatred the same way. And so looking at it from that perspective, you'll have to work with it each individually on your own, not from this much more general way of looking at hatred itself. We get sort of trapped by our transgressive or our post-transgressive energy, that stuff that we do, actions out of our anger or our hatred, or all the guilt and resentment for the stuff that we did out of all of our hatred. And we get so trapped in that, that we tend to think that's the problem. If I could just stop being so angry, if I could just stop being so reactive, then everything would be better. But from everything I have ever practiced, it's not in the anger. It's more in our inability to accept that anger is a very natural part of being human. That this hatred and anger is very, very natural part of being human. So our inability to accept that that is the nature of being human, we get trapped in our outward behavior about it. So what I wanted to, this little quote I have from Jack Kornfield says, want what you have and don't want what you don't have. Here you will find true fulfillment. Makes sense, huh? I wish it were that simple. But I'll go to the next one, delusion, before I get to my little personality traits. So delusion is this, what I would consider, what I think is an unskillful relationship with practice. It causes ignorance. And what I mean by an unskillful relationship with practice is we cannot see clearly the nature of phenomena. We can't, in a moment of time, we cannot see that all things are unsatisfactory, they are impermanent, and that they are not personal, this non-self. We don't see those three characteristics of life in any given moment. And we begin to look upon a situation as permanent, or right or wrong, or somehow or another related to me. This is because of me. That inability to clearly see the nature of phenomena is where this delusion comes from. So we end up confusing our yearning or grasping after pleasant, we begin to think that that's what's pleasant, right? We begin to think that it's in our yearning for something pleasurable, our daydreaming about the trip into the sun, we think there is lies the pleasure. And that is the attachment. We cannot see the suffering in that. We see instead the pleasure of it, which creates this delusion. Or we end up confusing that part of us that pushes things away, pushing away this uncomfortableness or this unpleasantness, that becomes right. I'm just uncomfortable. So I'm sitting and I'm uncomfortable. Why can't I just adjust a little bit, then I'm more comfortable, right? Can't just move my leg a little bit, stretch it out, because my knee is so painful. If I just stretch it out, it's okay, it's fine. And we cannot see that in that shifting or pushing against the unpleasant or the uncomfortable, we don't see that. We don't see the problems in that. We can't see in any given moment that we're living out of conditioning or our expectations or some predisposed assumptions about the way things should be, the way things ought to be. We can't see that in the moment. I can't see in the moment that I want something louder. I want the TV up louder. I can't see in that moment any effect it has on anybody else. So Likewise, it's not the delusion that's the problem. I think it's in the view. It has to do with the view that you're holding in any given moment. All right, so I want to move through these personality traits. Oh, wait. First, I want to read this one. Can't find it. So let me talk a little bit about these personality traits. I don't know a lot about these personality traits. I don't really even like them very much, I think, but I just want to talk about them a little bit, about how it is that these personality traits ultimately led to me coming to a much closer relationship with greed, hatred, and delusion. So from what I understand, the greedy personality is one who tends to pursue pleasure, or it's more that the mind would adhere to the pleasant side of an object or phenomena and is almost blinded to that part of the phenomena, experience, or object that's unpleasant. Can't really see it. It's like being on a perpetual treadmill, running after one pleasant thing to the next pleasant thing. So basically, you're driven by your pleasant thoughts of something. And then, of course, the aversive personality would be the opposite of that. You tend to see the world and see everything as it's unpleasant. You are putting your kind of projection that things are not going to be right, something's going to go wrong, your irritations onto whatever object or phenomena in front of you. So you tend to see the world as needing to be fixed, not quite right. Just tweak it a little bit and then it'll be okay. And then the delusional personality would be this energy of tending to be more confused, unable to decide, so you sort of get stuck and immobile in life, almost as if you are checked out, not really showing up at all. So, first time I ever heard about those, I picked my personality. And I decided, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to work on it. So I decided I was an aversive personality. Okay, I had some clues. I yelled a lot. And I would snap at people in a heartbeat. I always saw the problem with everything. So I always saw I could tweak it just a little bit. My boys will tell you they had to grow up being perfect, and they were never, ever, ever good enough. No matter what they brought to me, great picture, I'd say, oh, look at this, it's very nice. Why did you make the sky orange? I mean, I understand it's your picture, but skies are blue. So I don't know if orange is the best color for sky, you know? So any of you that's ever had a parent like that, you know you're kind of like sinking down into the floor now. But I'll be truthful here. My boys had a hard road because I was very, very, very stuck on things going my way. And they had to go my way in order for everything to be okay. I just wanted to do it in a nice way. So as long as I got my way, everything would be okay. But when I didn't get my way, or if something didn't go my way, I would get very angry. Deep anger. And I came from such a difficult childhood, so much dysfunctional behavior in my family, that I had a lot of justification for being angry. And I must say, being angry, I got a lot of stuff the way I wanted it. It's amazing what the raised voice can do. You know, fist pounding, getting loud at grocery stores or whatever, and then all of a sudden everybody's trying to give you what you want. So what's the problem? Raise the voice a little, get what you want. So prior to practice, I didn't really have a problem with the idea that I was angry. And then, of course, the more I started practicing, then I figured it was the anger that was the problem. I need to fix that anger so I could be softer and nicer. I wanted to get my way, but softer, nicer. So I started out on this effort to try to work on not being so angry. I was going to try to change my personality so I wouldn't be aversive anymore. And I wouldn't be angry. And Rodney and I had a long talk about this. And he said, don't let go of the anger. That's nothing. Don't let go. Don't worry about all those behaviors. I want you to pay attention to when you get irritated, when you get frustrated. Just that little thing, whatever that is. And I thought, what's the point of that? That's nothing. I want to stop screaming at people. That's where we got to work. It doesn't matter if I'm irritated about something. We need to work on the big stuff. Isn't that where we go? We work on the big stuff. If you're a greedy personality, you don't want to, I don't want to buy nothing else. I don't want nothing else. But it's not the big stuff. It's the little bitty things. It's that irritation. So I didn't think I could do this because, one, I didn't think I got irritated. I probably told Rodney, I don't really get irritated or frustrated with things. I mean, it's the anger I want to work on, not this. And so, you know, Rodney basically had me come to some kind of acceptance that I get angry. And then let that go, and let's work on the irritation. Look for it then. He told me to look for when I get irritated. Look for when I get frustrated. You don't think you're irritated? Look for it. So I started looking for when I got irritated. I didn't think I was going to find anything, but oh my God. Oh my God. I don't think I walked out of the house without being irritated. I was irritated at everything. Nothing went my way. Nothing went right. Not everything was not right. And so the practice that Rodney gave me was this idea of working with these irritations and frustrations and seeing if you could just feel into that irritation and frustration and let go of the need for it to be something else. Just like being a scientist, just collecting data so I could begin to learn what is the nature of irritation and frustration. And it wasn't too long before I started feeling that my entire body was tight all the time. I didn't even think I had irritation. And then it went a little bit further. I could begin to sense that my body was tight all the time. Muscles were always tense all the time. And that's kind of scary because how am I going to relax if I'm always tight all the time? And it certainly did not go along with my image of who I was. Just wanted to, you know, just tweak this one thing and then I'd be perfect. So here I am. I begin to hear unbelievable things coming out of my own thoughts. But the softer I got with this, like, not so mad because I'm tense all the time, just going to be with this, not going to try to get rid of anything, just going to just do like a little scientific study, see what it is. Check it out just a little bit, no problems with it. And the more I begin to notice my aversion to almost everything, I begin to see greed. I begin to see how much I was really searching after the pleasure. What I really wanted was for life to be better, better, better. And I just thought I knew how to make it better. I couldn't see the sort of backdrop of perfect balance because I was too busy trying to make things better, 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 better. And I started seeing how I tried to always want my way, make things better, make it better for me, fix it for me. I started seeing how much me was in everything. Everything. Now, I could never stop yelling at people. I tried, and I could not stop yelling at people. But I could let go of an irritation. I could let go of a frustration. I could feel that frustration and I could learn to work with that. I could learn to let go of a little frustration. I could begin to learn to let go of a little irritation. I could begin to hold some of these things that I thought were unbelievable. Some of you guys might know, I used to catch the bus to work and I would miss the bus that I was supposed to catch every day. I don't understand this because I figured out I could catch this one bus, but I would never get out there in time to catch the bus. It would always be driving by when I'm walking up to it. And then I would sit there and I would be irritated and just so upset about missing the bus. It would stay with me on the bus. It would stay with me at work. And it would stay until the next irritation would show up. And then I'd be irritated about that. The only way I let go of any irritation was the next irritation would show up. And I will never forget the first time the bus went past me and I just let it go. I was like, oh, I really should try to leave the house a little bit earlier. That might be a start on catching that bus. I never saw that before I was willing to first accept and see that I was irritated. I couldn't see the causation or the root behind it because I couldn't see that I was irritated in the first place. I was only worried about the big stuff. But as I started working with these little irritations, these little minor frustrations, just a little thing, I can accept this, I can hold this little bitty thing. What do you think happened to the big, huge outbursts? They just stopped. I don't know where they went. what I want to leave you with is this idea that if you think you are a personality, I'm an adverse person, or I have the personality type of greed or delusion, it is an illusion, that is. Mainly, I think it is the doorway out of this cycle. It's our doorway. So look at those big behaviors that you so don't like about yourself and want to get rid of it. If I could just be this, or just stop doing this. Just let that be the place that you drop down into and look at the minor little tweaks in it. So if you happen to be a greedy personality, right? Can you notice when you're uncomfortable? Can you notice that impulse to want something? And not so much worry about whether or not you live comfortable or don't live comfortable, or whether you're greedy or not greedy, the much bigger thing, but just see if you could hold being uncomfortable with the position you happen to be in when you start your sitting. When you start your sitting, we notice about 2 seconds in it that, oh my gosh, shouldn't have sat like this. I should have put my leg a different way. I should have put a sweater on, or I should have taken off my sweater. There's that impulse right then that this is not comfortable. I should change this right away. And can you just hold that and see what happens? I dare say you might run into your aversion and hatred. Steve Armstrong, one time, some of you know, I had this huge aversion towards sound in the meditation hall. I couldn't sit for griping at every sound that I heard in a meditation hall. And so I decided I wanted to work with this aversion and stop. Stop hating sound. I wanted to stop hating sound. And so I went to Steve and I said, I've been trying to stop, get rid of my aversion to sound in meditation. I just can't do it. I just can't seem to work with that. And Steve said, well, trying to get rid of an aversion to something you have an aversion to, not so helpful. Not so easy. What if you just turned and looked at the thing that you are attached to? So instead of looking at aversion, look at what you are attached to, which is silence, and let go of your attachment to silence. That was mind-blowing. Because if you let go of your attachment to silence, then there's no problem with noise. It's sort of like that kind of a turn. I have a table. I used to have a table in my house. I have this little tiny apartment, little tiny studio. But someone told me that if you put glass tables in a tiny apartment, they look big. Makes your apartment look big. So I got this really nice glass table. It was so beautiful. And the base was square, and it was a big round glass that you put on top of it. And I put it in my little tiny dining room area. So disappointing, it would not fit. Took up the whole room. The whole space. I didn't have room for chairs or nothing. So disappointed. And I told my brother, who helped me bring the table in, We might as well put this table back out in the car, because the truck, because it's not going to fit. And my brother's a carpenter. I said, it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. He goes over to the table and he goes, turns it like 1/4 on the angle. And this table fit just perfect. Just turn the base, which is a square, 1/4 turn. And my table fit. And it was there for years and years and years. I couldn't believe it. But that's sort of what this practice is. Some of this practice is just a 1/4 turn. And you can see something you otherwise could not see. Just taking a moment in any situation that you're with, 1/4 turn. In the view, not in the idea that you have to fix the problem. 1/4 turn of your view. So some ways you could think about it. I have about 3 ways you could think about it. First, I want to leave you with this thing that Matthew Ricard said. It says, we want the world to allow the unconditional fulfillment of all our aspirations. And since this does not happen, we fall prey to suffering. Our search for happiness is more often founded on our illusions than on reality. It is pointless to try to shape the world to fit our desires. We must simply transform our minds. So what I am proposing, offering here, is this idea that we could make a 1/4 shift in the way that we think about things. And what may seem like it's an impossible thing becomes this fully possible thing that we can do. So, greed. You could consider the question, what are you trying to add on to the moment, to the situation? If you think of it as just greed, you might think, oh, I'm not greedy. I'm not like that. I would think I'm not greedy. I'm averse. I'm not greedy. But if I think, what am I trying to add on? I could see that in my adding and trying to get what I want, I am caught in the impulse of that greed, unwholesome root. Or maybe you have a way of saying yes, but. You know, yes, but. Just a little more. Just something else. And you could consider, if you're stuck in that yes, but energy, that you might do a 1/4 turn and notice that you are trapped in that unwholesome root of greed. Or if you find yourself saying have to, that phrase, have to, something has to, you have to, I have to, you could turn that little 1/4 turn and maybe notice greed there. With hatred, you could consider hatred as what is it that you are afraid of to experience. So what about this experience are you afraid of? You know why I had so much aversion about missing the bus? It's because I'm going to be late to work and I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. You would think I could think about that before I left the house, but I wouldn't. I would only think about it when I saw the bus going by. Because when I saw the bus going by, the idea that I would be late to work became a reality. But if I could think of that, if I could think, oh, what am I afraid of? Getting late to work. Then it's easier for me to begin to notice the time way back at my house. Or maybe you have that kind of not now energy. You know, oh, maybe later, but not now. Just push it off a little bit. That same energy. It would be the idea that this can't be. In order to work with this energy, greed and hatred, we're going to have to sort of come face to face with some of this delusion that we have. And begin to see the energy behind things. So I want to leave you with this incredible moment I had one time at that long retreat. And long retreats sometimes, they are unbelievable. They're so special, these things that you can see that you don't always have the capacity to see unless you're very, very still. But I remember during a walking meditation at IMS, they have lots of trees, and we were there in the fall, so there's leaves falling everywhere. And it was during the walking period, and I noticed that everything was very, very still. And then this wind began to come. And the trees that they have, these big, huge trees, these leaves at the top were just swarming around. Leaves on the ground were swarming around. Coats and sweaters were moving and shifting through this wind. And at first, all I noticed was the big trees moving around and the leaves moving around and the coats and the sweaters moving. I didn't notice the wind because we don't normally see wind. It seems almost, it's impossible to see wind. But I was so still that I didn't just stay with the big movements of the trees and the leaves and the coats. I begin to look at what was causing that movement, that big movement of trees and leaves and coats. And I swear to you, I could see the wind. I could see the movement of air moving and causing this big movement. So I tell you that so that we don't get so caught in the big movement that we don't look at what's causing that. And greed, hatred, and delusion is at the root. It's the causation that sends us into these big actions and ways of being that we so don't like. If we just go a step back and look at that much simpler causation, we can liberate the heart. So, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. So let's sit a moment. I'll leave you one more thing from a Tibetan Rinpoche. The rich never have enough money. The powerful never have enough power. Let us reflect. The best way to satisfy all our desires and make our plans come to fruition is to simply let them go. we might have time for a comment or two, but we have several announcements, and so we'll hopefully those will be short if anybody had any. Great. I guess we're all clear now. We're going to be working on that greed, hatred, and delusion. And the wanting it to be different. Did you want to share?
When you started out, you talked about the all the confusion and everything going on, and then there's a stillness behind it. And to me, what I was hearing or feeling is that's the knowing that here is grief and the patient is everything knowing it.
She was saying that hearing. In the beginning, the little phrase I read about that there's this backdrop of everything being perfect, and that for her, this is the knowing that greed, hatred, and delusion is there. That's the delusion, the knowing that it's greed and hatred there. And that that knowing comes with this idea that it's human. It's ingrained in us. It's hardwired, so it's going to be there. If we could just see it, maybe we would not be so pushed by it all the time. Okay. All right, so we have some announcements.